All right, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of our OmniTalk Spotlight series. We are really excited today. In today's episode, we have a company that Anne and I have been watching closely for some time now, and it's been a little bit of a passion subject for both of us, and it's a company called Storefront. It's a company that some are calling the Airbnb for real estate, for retailers and retail real estate specifically. And today we're excited because Anne and I are joined by the CEO of Storefront, Mohammed Awash. So Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for inviting me.
It's great to have you. I wonder if you could start. Let's start here. Why don't you give our audience, if you can, just a little background on what exactly is Storefront and how does it work?
It's a very good question, and I have many answers to this question.
Okay.
And the first one is that you said it rightly. We are today compared as the next Airbnb. Okay. And we decided to launch a few years ago a marketplace connecting a short-term retail space with a network of brand and retailers. We brought the design of Airbnb and the software part of Airbnb in order to create a booking experience which is unique. I like also comparing Storefront as a Tinder for empty vacant space. Why? Because we realized early on that the biggest issue of retailers today was to find and book empty vacant space for pop-up shops. And the way we've been creating a product is through a matchmaking algorithm, which connects some brands to the best empty vacant space in New York, Paris, London, and so on.
That's fascinating. Mohammed, tell us a little bit about your background and you kind of came together with a couple other groups to form Storefront. Is that correct?
This is correct.
Okay.
I was born in France.
Okay.
When I left business school, I worked in a big German investment bank in Paris, and I was fascinated by New York. And my dream as a kid was to work in Wall Street. So somehow I managed to find a way to move to New York as an intern, and I worked in a hedge fund for many years. There was something wrong with my life. I felt that I just had to fulfill my vision to become an entrepreneur, and it took many years of back and forth with my family and friends in order to come up with the first version of Storefront. Hmm. So I resigned one day and decided to move back to France, launch a company called WeOpen, which became Storefront. And Storefront today is a combination of two companies. The WeOpen part of Storefront, which in Europe and Asia, and the Storefront that everybody knows in the US, which is the US largest company when it comes to empty vacant space for short-term retail space. Hmm. And the combination of the two companies makes Storefront today the world's largest pop-up shop marketplace.
When you say world's largest pop-up marketplace for retail, well,
sure.
Where specifically are you guys operating? How many cities around the world are you in at this point?
That's a very good question. I don't even keep track of the cities.
That's a good problem to have. I like that. That's great.
Yeah, it's a good problem, but it's still a problem.
No problem.
So we tend to focus in tier one cities.
Okay.
Because despite the fact that the company is a high growth company, it's been very hard to scale geographically easily. So if you look at Storefront landing page and go to www.storefront.com, you will find out that we are today in the US, but we only advertise our listings in New York, San Francisco, Miami, us, and memory is correct, we're also available in Austin. And we are on our way to launch another five cities in the next few months. We also in France, UK, Netherlands, Italy, Macau, Singapore, And as of late, we also launched Czech Republic, Italy with Milan. So it's keep track of all the countries or cities that we are opening. But the market is so ready to be taken by one company that we have to move fast in order to grab market shares and also fulfill our clients' needs.
Right. Okay. Interesting. How do you, from a strategic perspective, then, as a CEO, how do you think about that? And from a scalability standpoint, like, how do you decide, you know, where to place your efforts? You know, that seems very widespread, you know, just off the top of my head. So how did you think about that? And then how do you think about that going forward in regards to, you know, scaling this up as quickly as possible?
It's a very good question. I will answer this question in two parts. The first one is that we are the only company today which build a software organization disrupting the short-term retail market. Mm-hmm. By creating scalability, we are today able to expand into new territories or countries or cities at a limited cost. Because like every startup, we have to keep our cost of global expansion under control while maximizing the visibility and the impact of storefronts. Mm-hmm. The second element of is that we have a playbook of international expansion. And if this playbook is not green, with only green dots, we are not going to open the cities. Mm-hmm. And all the cities where storefront is available tend to have a very vibrant retail activity, tend to also have a fashion week activity or a strong touristic activity, to make it very simple.
Interesting, strong Fashion Week activity. Is that really your niche then, in terms, at least right now, in terms of where the pop-up activity is happening? Is more in the fashion retailer space, or is it more pervasive across all retail?
I will tell you that when we launched the company a few years ago, our vision was to help entrepreneurs and e-commerce players to go from an idea to a physical retail activity. Mm-hmm. So we worked when we were a young company with Casper, which became huge and successful company. We did the first pop-up store of Kanye West, the performer. Mm-hmm. And the company grew into a more established player. And today, and this is, to be frank with you, it's a very big surprise. We also work with established company, mm-hmm. Established physical retailer. Mm-hmm. We recently did a pop-up shop with Converse Nike in New York. And if you go into our social media platforms, you will also see that we advertise the fact that we worked with Facebook in London. So today, we work with not only innovative startups, but with also a lot of established company. So it's quite spread out when it comes to the customer segmentation, but there is really nothing we can do. Everybody today is working or using storefront. The only company on top of my mind which never used storefront is Apple.
Okay.
So Tim, if you hear me, we're waiting for you.
Absolutely, that's great.
Mohammed, tell me about what the relationship has looked like when it comes to how storefront is really affecting the commercial real estate market. You're in several cities throughout the world now. What's been the reception of people who own commercial real estate, where these storefronts that have been vacant for a while? And how do you think this is going to kind of transform what leasing arrangements might look like in the future?
What is very important is that storefront is not only having a social impact, but we also are a tool for bringing revenues, you know. And let's come back to the basic. Landlord who's using storefront is either trying to monetize an empty vacant space, more or less an underutilized asset, or it's trying to find a long-term tenant by offering a space through through pop-up stores. What we've seen when we launched the company, which is once again very different today, is that we had to convince a landlord, shopping mall, and brokers or brokerage firms to use storefront in order to maximize the utilization rate of their vacant spaces. Today, the storefronts and also the industry that we are disrupting is becoming more or less a marketing play, you know. And we went from a tool or solution called Storefront, which was here to make money, to a tool which is here to provide marketing leverage to retail projects. So the type of landlords using Storefront today are not only the small and mid-sized landlord or the big or small brokerage firms. We are also today this big push coming from shopping malls or established landlords who are trying to bring some out-of-the-box startups, some innovative fashion designers to their space, because from one mall to the other, it tends to be the same kind of user experience. You tend to offer the same kind of brands. So if you can bring a more vibrant retail mix by offering your space to some local designers or some out-of-the-box startups, you might be able to attract more customers, you know. So it comes down to what you want to offer to the end customer.
Absolutely. And are you managing the actual leases for these landlords, or are you just making the match, like you mentioned before?
Yeah. We are a booking platform. Today, we don't have the ability and the size to offer the booking of a retail space and also manage the space on behalf of a landlord or a brand. It will require Storefront to hire 10,000 people overnight, and we obviously cannot do that, you know. So we want to only focus on the software part of our business model, and we want to create the best user experience when it comes to find and book the best vacant space globally.
What have you learned as you've embarked on this endeavor over the last few years? Anything that stuck out and surprises you that our audience would find particularly interesting as you've tried to, you know, convince both sides of the equation, both the landlords and the retailers, that there's a big opportunity here to think about it in the way that you are?
I will just answer this question in a very humble way. We made a lot of mistakes. The market is huge and totally untapped. We are by far the largest player, but given the fragmentation and the use of the industry, I will compare myself as Airbnb when they were 2 years old, you know. Things are just ahead of us, you know. And what we learn is that the existing market of commercial real estate is broken. What we learn is that the cycle of real estate are too long, and the real needs of fashion designers, brands, entrepreneurs are more and more flexible and shorter by nature. And somehow there is a disconnection or disconnect between the needs of the real estate industry and the needs of their clients willing to book their space, you know. And by accident or somehow by having a good market fit, Storefront was able to offer this this solution.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more with you. I think that's why we were so excited today, because we've seen those opportunities ourselves. You mentioned length in there. Just given the degree of transformation that's currently, you know, that the industry is currently seeing, do you see the leasing models start to move in a different direction too? Do you think in general we'll start to see a move towards shorter term leases and capitalizing on models like yours to help, you know, keep the spaces that are there full but changing more frequently?
Look, if you look at other industries, it's very unlikely that you kids or the kids of your kids will own an apartment or house, mm-hmm. because they're going to move into this idea that usage is more important than ownership. Mm-hmm. We are seeing in New York people who don't have a car, mm-hmm. using public transportation or Uber. Mm-hmm. You have this strong message that the sharing economy is offering flexibility, and this flexibility is impacting a multi-billion dollars industry. For us, it's the same impact and the same kind of long-term and secular trend when it comes to commercial real estate. And we should see more disruption in the future. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we would have the same thesis. It seems that no matter what industry you look at, as you start to chop up content, and you could call a physical space a piece of content in some ways, that creates actually more value and unlocks more value over time because it makes it more available to more people. So very, very interesting.
Mohammed, what's the most impressive storefront that you've been a part of?
Ooh, great question, Anne.
Oh, there are many.
Pick a favorite child.
Picking a child?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There are a lot of surprises, you know. The first one today is that we work with big luxury brands that we don't even know. You know, I'm talking about the Hermes of this world, the LVMH, mm-hmm. the, you know, luxury sportswear companies, you know, the Supreme of this world. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a specific example, but what I can tell you is that when I see on my dashboard the quality of the brands using Storefront, I'm very proud. Because none of this relationship came from any kind of outbound sales. None of my people know personally the CFO, the head of marketing of Hermes or LVMH. So the storefront today is used and has this significant impact when it comes to providing flexibility. A pop-up store that was just discussed a few hours ago with my team was the first pop-up store that L'Oréal did with us in Paris. It was a little bit less than 2 years ago, and it was a pop-up store coming from the largest cosmetic company on earth, deciding to test the water with Storefront and sell directly to their customers. So basically, they went from a wholesale model to a direct-to-consumer model through Storefront. I was very, very happy with this this pop-up store. I can also mention some out-of-the-box pop-up stores. One of them was a bar. It was a pop-up store for cat owners, for the pets.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was a very out-of-the-box pop-up stores. It was for a cat food company, and it went quite viral, and it was a very interesting one. But I will invite all of you to look at our social media activity. There are a lot of very interesting concepts out there.
That's fantastic.
And where can we follow you on social media and Twitter?
I don't know them by heart.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Well, we can find them. That's pretty easy.
It's on the footer of our website.
Okay.
And Mohammed, I want to say one other thing for our listeners too, that the storefront puts out, if you are a retailer or a brand thinking about doing a pop-up shop, definitely check out the pop-up guide that the storefront has put out. It's a very intuitive and informative guide for anybody thinking about just, you know, the operations behind getting going forward with a pop-up concept. And you can download that on their website at thestorefront.com. Mohammed, anything else that you wanted to cover off on today while we have you on the line?
No, I just would like to thank you for hosting this interview. I'm very, very happy with our recent progress. And I have to just remind you that Storefront is a startup. And it was built by entrepreneurs who had this vision a few years ago that retail will become more and more flexible. And I'm proud to be invited today to this call because just a few years ago, I had to beg a journalist to speak to me, and my team had to beg listing owners and brokers to work with us. So it's 180 revolution for us. So thanks for advertising this industry. I really believe that short-term is going to be the new long-term. So thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It's been great to have you. And you know, this the term that gets thrown around, retail as a service, that's a passion for us. And you're providing the service side, definitely on the real estate. And we watch very closely to see how that combines with both the technology, the actual store infrastructure that it takes to run a pop-up shop and run a retail operation every day. So watching how this continues to unfold and evolve is going to be a fascinating topic for us. So thanks for your time today. Hopefully we'll connect again, because I think there's just going to be even more activity, and you guys are definitely on to something. So thank you very much again. Our guest today on the OmniTalk Spotlight series, the CEO of Storefront, Mohammed Awash. For all our listeners out there, as always, be careful out there.